Do you ever run into that issue at restaurants where you're trying to use a gift card, but you have to end up ordering an extra breadstick or something just to use up the last of the gift card, or you stress about wasting a little bit of money? With Flooz, you can buy gift cards in the exact amount you need on the spot, including tax and tip. Download the app via my referral code GeoBreezeTravel and start earning cash back every day. Check out the show notes to download the Flooz app. Thank you to Flooz for partnering with this episode of the GeoBreezeTravel podcast. Welcome to the GeoBreezeTravel podcast, a show for anyone wanting to level up their travel hacking lifestyle. I'm your host, Julia Menez. I'm a travel hacker, coach, speaker, Filipina-American ENTJ who loves solid travel gear and using shortcuts on spreadsheets. On this show, I'm on a mission to bring you travel hackers from all walks of life to help you level up your travel hacking game. We dive into credit cards, miles, points, strategy, mindset, and the secrets behind how to travel the world for next to no cost. So let's get hacking.
Depending on the person, how much they fly, how much they stay, status may be important. It's super important to us, not for everything, but for the, you know, our airline and our hotel of choice, just because of the amount that we have traveled and continue to travel. But waiting until the last minute to meet the challenge is just one of the worst things that you can do. What happened to us last year, my husband was trying to earn executive platinum again with the reduced ratings, and you were able to earn more upgrades. And so it just made sense. And so he literally waited until December 30th. I think all he needed was $50 to spend. And we booked a flight for him to fly from Austin to Dallas, and I was going to drive and meet him there. And his flight got canceled. And so it was literally the last day of the year. So he missed out on just taking that one flight. So just, you know, making a plan and not waiting until the last minute, because you never know what could happen. Your flight could get canceled and now you didn't do it. So something that we are very mindful of now to make sure that we give ourselves enough time if it's something that we're going to do.
Christy Gonzalez of Two Traveling Engineers is a native Texan living in Poland. When her husband took a two-year work assignment, Christy decided to take a break from her full-time engineering job and make the move with her husband and dog. Now she manages twotravelingengineers.com, a site about her and her husband's travels, points and miles recommendations, and expat life tips. In this episode, Christy and I discuss their life as expats in Poland and how to visit Poland using points and miles. Whenever you're traveling abroad, make sure you use a card that has no foreign transaction fees. Personally, my husband and I like to use the Chase Sapphire Reserve for this very reason. The Chase Sapphire Reserve also comes with a $300 travel credit each year and earns 10 points per dollar when you spend on hotels, credit cards, or Chase dining through the Chase Travel Portal. Remember, never, ever, ever apply for a card through Google. Always be sure to ask your favorite friends and travel creators if they have a referral link so that you can use those to help them earn more points and commissions whenever you apply for your next card. And if you'd be interested in supporting this show when you apply for your next card, check out the link in the show notes. And now, on with the show. Hey, Christy, welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast.
Hey, Julia, thanks for having me. Really excited to be here.
I am so excited to have you here and to hear all about how you guys moved to Poland, how you flew back and forth between the US and Poland a few times and continue to do that using points and miles and all of your different recommendations for somebody who's traveling to Poland. But before we get into all of that, walk us through your background. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how did you get into the game of points and miles?
Sure. So my name is Christy. I'm a native Texan. My husband and I moved to Poland in March of this year for a work assignment that he received through his company. I got into the points and miles world back in 2008, actually, when I first went off to school. I went to school in Boston from Dallas, and I just signed up to earn American Airlines miles. So just purely through flying and earning miles. And that was in the good days when you could just earn them through flying and you didn't have to meet any kind of minimum spends or things like that. So I was able to use points and miles really just to get back and forth and travel for the holidays during those really expensive seasons. And then when I graduated, I opened up my first American Airlines credit card and booked a free round trip ticket to Australia for a month. So I got to do that, which was super, super fun, and also wouldn't have been able to afford it as a broke college student that had just graduated, staying through hostels But that's what really introduced me to that. And shortly after that, my husband started traveling for work pretty much full time. And so I kind of opened his eyes to the world of points and miles, got him signed up for some frequent traveler programs. And then from there, he just became obsessed with tracking everything and has had a spreadsheet since like 2014, where he has every single program that he's joined, every single status that he's had, what he needs to do to meet each program. So he kind of took over all of that for us. And that's kind of how we became the two traveling engineers, where we're very much doing this together, but he's not a social media person whatsoever, very much behind the scenes. So I'm kind of like the voice of our whole platform.
So tell us about your engineering gigs and how that brought you to Poland.
We knew we wanted to do some sort of international assignment at some point. So we both kind of approached it from different angles. I was looking at roles through my company for probably like 3 years, talking to different people about how can I do an international assignment, talking to people that had done it before. And he kind of had done the same thing. The opportunity came up through his company, actually 2 years ago. And at first we turned it down. It just didn't make sense for us where I was in my career at my company. And the assignment was just not as appealing. And then when it came up this time, you know, we had all just gone through COVID and we said, yep, let's do it. Let's move.
How long do you expect to be in Poland before you come back?
Good question. I'm hoping for May, but it might be a little bit longer, just depending on his. It's one of those hard things to balance, you know, my career and his career, and also the fun part of living abroad and getting to experience this life and do travels that would just take us a lot longer to do because the flight is much longer and much more expensive. So probably until May. So it'll be about 14, 15 months or so that I'll get to spend here.
Awesome. So when you guys found out that you were moving to Poland, did you already have a lot of points and miles banked up? Or did you have to start saying, okay, we need to get a strategy together to do all the travel that we want to do when we're based in Poland?
Oh, for sure. We were both traveling for work almost 100% of the time. I was flying every single week from Austin to Philadelphia to visit suppliers. So I had a ton of American miles. So did my husband, and a ton of Marriott points just from literally traveling every single week, which has its perks, but also just takes a significant toll on you to just do that much travel. So we both had quite a few, and we knew we were going to use at least the hotel points to be able to travel through Europe. Not so much the American miles, just because our goal was really just to get here and try not to go back to the US. You know, we really wanted to make it the whole time and really experience expat life and just travel throughout Europe. So we actually canceled our American Airlines credit card right before moving. We were like, we don't need that. We don't need that $400 credit card that gets us the lounge. We'll never use it. And then sure enough, as soon as we moved, a month in, I got really sick. I found out that I had a thyroid disease. It's called Graves' disease. And so something that I didn't know about autoimmune diseases is that they can be triggered by stress. So just the stress of moving to another country during COVID, right after this Austin major snowstorm that happened, it was just chaos. And I ended up getting really sick. So about a month later, I had to come back to the US. And then I had to come back every 2 months to go to the doctor and get medicine that isn't exactly available here in Poland. So I was really kicking myself when I canceled my credit card that I could have used to earn the points. But they also really helped me get back and forth to the US and be able to fly with those pretty expensive international flights.
Is it just flying on American Airlines metal between Poland and the US, or are you transferring those points? How are you logistically doing that?
Well, there's a lot of options. I think for me right now, just because of the environment that we're in, one of the things I try to minimize is the number of connections in the US. I think the US has a little bit more unpredictable flights and just schedule right now. It seems like there's a lot of delays, not so much in Europe. So my priority is figuring out how can I get to the US with as little connections as possible and then flying to Dallas, which is where my home is. So American is the easiest airline to do that just because they have direct flights. Lufthansa does as well, but most of my points have been on American. My status is on American. So with having executive platinum status, I can use my system-wide upgrades to get upgraded into lie-flat seats. So I've depleted my system-wide upgrades. And I know for a lot of other people that have executive platinum status with American, they haven't really been able to use them just because flying has been difficult. And those are pretty expensive that you don't want to use on a flight from, like, let's say Dallas to Cancun. You don't want to waste your system-wide upgrade on that. Those are really valuable for those super long flights that people just haven't been taking. So that's why I choose to just fly on American Airlines Metal and making sure that I can use those system-wide upgrades and then also earn the miles if I'm booking it directly.
So what's the route that you would normally fly to get back to the U.S.?
I would normally fly from either Frankfurt or Amsterdam direct to Dallas, and then I would book a separate flight to get to either Amsterdam or Frankfurt. So that's kind of the risk that is involved with booking two separate flights. And it's worked out almost, I think the 8 flights that I've had to take, 7 of them worked out perfectly, and then one of them did not, where my flight in the US was delayed by 12 hours. And then I missed my connecting flight in Frankfurt from Frankfurt to back to Warsaw, Poland, where I live. And so that one, I had to book another flight altogether. But luckily, the European flights are pretty cheap, so it wasn't anything significant. And we were able to use our credit card insurance, I think through Chase Sapphire Reserve is what we used. So that was helpful. But we book it that way, so that way we can take advantage of the American pricing. If we booked from Warsaw to Dallas, it's like twice as expensive, twice as many points. So it's just easier to book the American portion and then book the Lufthansa or LOT, whatever that is, separately. And then the other option is to fly through London, but I try to avoid London just because of the fees that they charge you. And they also have that luxury fee that you have to pay if you're flying in business class. So if you get upgraded or you pay for the upgrade, you're going to get taxed that luxury fee, which is just annoying.
Well, there is a lot of good content there. So let's break this down a little bit. First, let's talk about the Chase Sapphire Reserve with the trip delay and the trip protection. How does that logistically work? And what does somebody have to do in order to get, like, reimbursed? Do you get hotel? Do they give you money? How does this work?
Yeah, so luckily we haven't had to use it very many times. We've only used it this one time for our flight delay. And basically we buy the new flight and then we submit a claim through Chase. They look at it and then they can either approve or deny it. Takes a few days. Ours was able to get approved. So basically we just get the credit back on the credit card. The credit card trip cancellation, trip insurance delay can be really tricky. The flights have to be delayed over 12 hours. And so if you don't have that written in, then you're not going to get approved. So if you have like a 5-hour delay and you miss your connecting flight, they won't help you. So, you know, we've had those instances before where we just weren't able to use it. But it is an excellent perk to use. I mean, to have. So we always are careful to pick the right credit card. Even when we have a new credit card and we're trying to meet a minimum spend, we won't use it unless it has trip cancellation insurance for a flight or for a car rental. And I feel like that's something that people get hung up on. They're like, I have to spend all my money on this credit card, so I'm going to put everything on it. And some things you don't want to, otherwise you get screwed.
I have been that way with cell phones, where I put my cell phone bill on the one that was earning the most points rather than the one that had cell phone protection. And then my cell phone decided to jump into a pool. And
oh my gosh, I saw that. I felt so bad for you.
It's okay. It was a very pretty pool in the Virgin Islands.
It was worth it.
It's what they call a beautiful death for a phone.
For sure. It's fine. It was worth it.
Yeah. So that's a lot of good routes to get from the U.S. to Poland. How is LOT I have never flown this airline. It's the national airline of Poland. Is it a good airline?
Yeah, I mean, it's a Star Alliance partner. So I look at it just like flying United. It's, you can use your Star Alliance status with it. So through Marriott, my husband has silver status with them through Titanium, which is great because we get free bags. So if you have gold status or silver status, anything like that, it will help you. One of the things that the European airlines don't do if you have status, you won't get upgraded like you would with United or with Delta, where you get on the upgrade list. You very much have to pay for it. But the flights are a lot shorter. So, you know, you're sitting 2-3 hours in economy, it's no big deal. But yeah, the flights are, they're completely fine. And just international airlines are just so much better than the US ones when it comes to like food and drinks and all that stuff. Now, the budget airlines, that's a completely different story. But LOT, Lufthansa, Air France, all of those, completely fine.
I saw that on Black Friday, Ryanair was selling flights for $6. So,
oh, I believe that. It. Yeah, totally. It's a risk. Sometimes it's amazing. Sometimes you're like, why did I do that to myself?
How is the airport in Warsaw? What's the lounge situation?
So there's actually quite a few lounges in the Warsaw airport. The airport in Warsaw and other airports that are in the Schengen zone, which is the EU zone that has the 26 countries that don't have any borders between them, or border checks, I mean. So all the airports will have two zones. And so typically they'll have two different lounges. One is for the people that are flying out of the zone, and then the other one is for the people that are staying like in the EU. And so the Warsaw airport has three lounges, one that's if you're leaving the EU, and the other one, and the other two that you're staying in there. A lot of things in Warsaw and throughout Poland are pretty new just because of the history that Warsaw has had in Poland. So things were pretty much destroyed during the war here. So everything's been rebuilt. So a lot of things are new. The lounge is super nice. One of them hasn't reopened since COVID, and I'm not sure why, but the lounge is just really nice. They give you so much food, all the food and drinks, just so much better than the US lounges. It's insane. And that's kind of been our experience at most of the other lounges just throughout Europe as well. They're so much nicer, and it's almost worth paying for the lounge experience, because I do notice people doing that. I'm not sure I would actually do it if it wasn't free with my credit card, but it's almost worth it because just the food is good.
Speaking of credit cards, are you still applying for more cards this year? And if so, how are you logistically doing that while being located abroad?
Yeah, so I still have an address in the US, so I'm able to still qualify for cards, and I'm a US citizen and resident as well. So that allows me that opportunity, which is fantastic. I am still applying. We just got our Venture X card, which is super exciting, and we were able to start using that. That's a great card, in my opinion, to have abroad because it's a Visa. Everybody takes Visa. If they take credit cards, they're going to take Visas as opposed to Amex. Hardly anybody takes an Amex here. And so it's just an easy card for us to use. We get 2x the points. And then we don't have to worry about having the physical card. As soon as the credit card comes in, my mom will send me my credit card information. I put it on my phone for Apple Pay and I'm good to go. I just tap everywhere just like you would with your credit card. So there's credit cards I don't even physically have, and I don't need them just because it's so easy to pay off your phone here. So anybody that will take a credit card will accept that, and I haven't had any issues with doing that.
Do you have any issues applying using Polish internet? Do you have to VPN or anything?
Yes, I do have to VPN. I personally use ExpressVPN that I bought more so to watch TV initially, but we end up using it for everything else. And so it helps with like logging in to pay our bills, and you absolutely have to be connected to the VPN. I did try to apply for a credit card once and I was declined, and it was because of the location. I didn't understand why at the time, but yeah, definitely have to use a VPN service to be able to apply.
Are there any other quirky things like that you have to watch out for if you're just exploring in Poland and say you have to call a credit card company or take care of any other just normal logistical adult things? Anything else that's weird about Poland where you're like, oh, you need to make sure you take this extra precaution?
Yeah, so buying things online can be complicated. There are times when you need to have a Polish credit card or bank account if you want to buy something online. The alternative is just not buying it. But because you're not able to change your billing address or billing country on some websites, so you can't use your American credit cards. So we did have to have a Polish account set up. The cool thing about the Polish accounts is that they're very much set up, and I'm not sure if it's like this European countries. There's something called Blick, and it's kind of like Venmo, where you Blick someone, you send someone money. So that's how I pay like my dog sitter. I Blick her through my Polish bank account. And you can do that in storage. You can do that at the ATM. You don't even need your card. You just have your phone set up and it just spits out a number to you. So it's a pretty cool setup. I just don't love using it just because I don't get anything out of using my Polish debit card, essentially. The other thing that we've been able to do to pay for things online has been using PayPal. So in some cases, we can't change our country, so we can't use our American credit cards, but we can use PayPal. So that's a nice little hack. And so we'll use PayPal whenever that's possible. But we can't use cards that charge a international fee. Like I think the Freedom Unlimited does, the Chase Freedom cards do. So those have really nice rewards with PayPal. But if you're doing an international transaction, then you're going to pay a fee. So it's really not worth it to use them for us.
How easy or difficult is it to navigate these systems in Poland for somebody who speaks zero Polish?
It is definitely a challenge. Countries like Germany and the Netherlands, everybody will speak English that you meet. And it may not be perfect, but most people's is perfect. In Poland, that's not really the case. A lot less people speak English than you would think. I guess some of the history goes back to a couple of generations, or maybe it's, I don't know if it's Gen X or the baby boomers that had to take Russian in school instead of English. So not everybody's English is great. And then a lot of people may speak English, but they really just don't feel comfortable speaking it because, you know, they're worried about how they sound. So communicating is difficult. So my husband's company has helped us from time to time with navigating different translators that we can work with that will come with us to different appointments, which is just, I'm not sure how we would have done it otherwise. There are things that we've had to do on our own that have been extremely challenging, you know, not speaking Polish. And even after taking lessons, it's one of those things where I'm like, I'm not sure if I'll ever get better at this because it's just such a difficult language. We had to change our vaccine cards, our US CDC cards into the EU QR codes. And it was such a difficult process to navigate. It's really important to make friends and make connections with people because you can really lean on each other for that. So one of the things that I've done is joined like a ton of different expat Facebook groups where people just share different tips and tricks with other people. That has been huge. And I mean, we love having this experience and living here. We've learned so much, but for sure, it has not been easy. And the good thing about Poland is it is a fairly low cost of living place. So that helps a lot too when you're struggling, having a frustrating day, but you can have dinner for like $4, you know, it's like, okay, well, this is pretty nice. I would pay like 14 euros if I was somewhere else.
How easy or hard is it for somebody who's just there for a week as a tourist where they don't have to go through all the logistics of legal paperwork or trying to figure out how to set up an apartment lease in Polish? If you don't have to worry about any of that and you're just like, I need to go to a store and buy some bread and wine and cheese, how easy or hard is that?
Yeah, I don't think that's hard. I think that's totally doable. I think it's just like visiting, you know, like a little town in Italy or France where you might find some people that don't speak English, but they'll try and help you. I think it's totally doable. It's definitely a great place to visit because it's super easy to get around with the different train systems, public transportation, different ride shares. It's just so inexpensive. So I always tell people to come and visit. Just don't come in the winter because the smog is pretty bad. But in the summer and in the fall, it is beautiful and it it's fine, especially if you're staying in like touristy areas.
For somebody who's visiting, do you have any hotel recommendations or areas of Warsaw or anywhere else in Poland that you'd recommend?
Yeah, definitely. I love Warsaw, but Krakow is so much nicer, so much better. It's a much cuter town, if you will, just because it wasn't destroyed during the wars. So the town is very much intact. The old town is beautiful. All of the major hotel chains are in all of the big cities in Poland. So you'll definitely find a Hilton, an IHG, a Marriott. I'm not sure about Hyatt's, but you'll find all of them. So you can book all of these with points, but honestly, it's probably just better to pay for the rates because the rates are, they tend to be a lot lower. We've stayed at some really nice hotels for like under $100 here through Marriott. It's also really nice to go up to, I'm going to mispronounce it. It's spelled Gdańsk, but that's definitely not how you pronounce it. And it's on the Baltic Sea. That area is super, super nice. There's beaches. It kind of feels like you're like in Virginia Beach or something, and it's wild because you're on the Baltic Sea instead. So I think going up there, definitely going to Krakow. And then Warsaw is interesting because it's the capital, and there is just so much different food here. It's much more of like a food hub than you would think. You can find everything, all kinds of international food like you would like in New York City, but for a fraction of the cost. It's also very like vegetarian and vegan friendly. So if you have like a dairy problem, I know I've visited so many other cities throughout Europe and like I can't have milk. And so trying to get a latte or a cappuccino somewhere is impossible if you're in Italy. They're like, no, here you go. So here you can get any kind of milk, literally like if you were in New York, but it's not going to cost you $8 or $9. It'll cost you like $3.
If you are listening to this episode thinking, I want to travel like this, but I need step-by-step directions. One of the best ways to level up your travel hacking game is by talking with other points people. I give away a free one-on-one coaching call each week. The secret link to sign up is in my weekly newsletter, which goes out every Monday and is first come, first served to grab the free call. Also, I host a masterclass and group coaching session every month. You can find the links to sign up for the newsletter, monthly masterclass, and Patreon, which gets you access to the masterclasses and also recordings of past events, all in the show notes. This week's Patreon shout-out goes out to Ksenia. Thank you so much for being a part of the GeoBreeze Travel Patreon community.
They have almond milk and oat milk and all of those things?
Yep, everything. There's probably like 7 different types of milk that you can choose from. Rice, hemp. Yeah, you get the basics, but then you get all the extra ones that I've never tried. I stick with almond. I'm pretty boring.
Nice. What's some of your favorite Polish foods that you've gotten to try since you've been there?
So Polish food is pretty heavy. There's some really good Polish sausages for sure are great. Pierogies, those are basically little dumplings. Just the famous one is the Ruski pierogies, which are cabbage and cottage cheese, but you can get any kind of flavor. You can get sweet ones, which was different for us. When we think of dumplings, we don't think of them filled with like raspberry filling. So those are all really good and you can have them boiled or fried. So I think the big food is probably the pierogies that everybody hears of. And I didn't think they were anything special until I came here and, you know, you can find some really good ones, but you can find everything here. So we end up eating quite a bit of French food. I'll say there's so many French restaurants and bakeries. And then I try and also just find more of like salad bowl places. You can do that as well here. We've got everything.
Is there anything else that the Points and Miles community might find particularly interesting in Poland? Free events, free things to visit, anything that we can use our Points and Miles for that somebody might not think of right off the bat?
I think just getting here, there's so many different ways to get to Europe and then book a cheap Europe to Europe flight. So there's not, you know, you don't have to fly American or LOT or United. There's just so many different ways. You can even fly the long way and go through Doha or Dubai. instead. So I think just getting creative and figuring out what kind of points you have, what you want to fly in order to get to Warsaw, because Warsaw or just Poland in general connects to so many different European cities. We very rarely connect here when we're flying places. We can fly in direct flights, maybe not every day of the week, but every other day. So it's really easy to get around and it just saves a lot of time. So I think just getting creative in your routing is huge and it will save you a lot of time and money.
What's some of your favorite routes that you've gotten to take within Europe from Poland?
Well, we did actually take a trip to the Seychelles in October from here, which was super random, but you know, we're only, I think, 4.5 hours away from Doha. And so the last time we flew to Doha, we were living in Austin. And so that was a 16-hour flight. So the fact that we were able to get there in like 4.5 was just awesome. And then the other flight was, I think, 5 hours from Doha to Seychelles. So taking advantage of being over here and just being like that much closer to other places is really cool. It's a balance, though, trying to figure out where do we want to spend our time just while we're living here? Do we want to visit more European cities or, you know, take advantage and get to like Africa as well or the Middle East? So, and then also those, because they're a lot shorter flights, the redemptions are a lot lower and there's a lot more availability just because not as many people are able to travel hack and use points and miles, you know, on this side of the world. It's one of the benefits that we have as Americans, which is awesome. And then I guess the other places we've been able to travel during some of the lower seasons, just because we're already here. So we took a really fun trip to Greece at the very beginning of the summer, used points for two luxury collections, in one in Crete and one in Santorini through Marriott. So that was awesome just because Greece can just be stupid expensive. I mean, it's beautiful, but I don't know how people go there without hotel points because it's so expensive.
I will be going in May and we used points to stay at a hotel that would normally be $1,600 per night.
Oh, that's awesome.
And while we're going to be sitting there, I'm just going to look at everybody else at this hotel and play this mental game of how can you afford to be here? What is your life story?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Well, cool. So any other tips that you have for Poland as we're wrapping up?
This one is not really Poland related, but it was more about one of the questions that you had asked about any travel mistakes, anything that you don't want people to repeat. And one of the things that we have, well, I guess there's two things that we like to tell people. One of them is about buying points and miles. So we do whenever there's good sales, whenever we need to meet redemptions. But one of the things to note is when you're buying points and miles through like American and through Marriott, they are going to get purchased through a third party. So you're not going to get the American points that you would get with the credit card or the Marriott points through the Marriott credit card. And so that's one of those things we learned early on, and we learned the hard way when we were calculating how many we were going to get. And we're like, oh, this is totally worth it because we'll earn 6 times and then, you know, you get one. So we're like, okay, that sucks. We wouldn't have done it otherwise. So that's just one thing to know if people ever want to do that. And then also chasing status. So depending on the person, how much they fly, how much they stay, status may be important. It's super important to us, not for everything, but for the, you know, our airline and our hotel of choice, just because of the amount that we have traveled and continue to travel. But waiting until the last minute to meet the challenge is just one of the worst things that you can do. What happened to us last year, my husband was trying to earn executive platinum again with the reduced ratings, and you were able to earn more upgrades. And so it just made sense. And so he literally waited until December 30th. I think all he needed was $50 to spend. And we booked a flight for him to fly from Austin to Dallas. And I was going to drive and meet him there. And his flight got canceled. And so it was literally the last day of the year. So he missed out on just taking that one flight. So just, you know, making a plan and not waiting until the last minute, because you never know what could happen. Your flight could get canceled and now you didn't do it. So something that we are very mindful of now to make sure that we give ourselves enough time if it's something that we're going to do.
That is really good and really important advice for everybody. Speaking of great advice, can you name somebody else on the internet who you would recommend that our listeners follow today for awesome points and miles tips?
Oh yeah. I love following people who travel hack for their families, because traveling hacking for one person, two people is great. But when you do it for like four, five, six people, I think is incredible. So Points for Family Travel is one of my favorite accounts. A newer account that I just started following is Kendi L Travels. So I love following her. I think she's a fairly new account and she's got great tips as well.
Perfect. And where can we find you on the internet?
I'm at Two Traveling Engineers. So is my husband. I'm just the voice. And we have a website, twotravelingengineers.com, where I write blog posts about our tips on expat life, using points, and traveling throughout Europe and previous trips that we've taken.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much, Christy, for coming on the show today. I have never been to Poland and now it's on my list because this was such an exciting episode and getting to learn all the different ways to fly there on point, stay at hotels on points, do lounges, eat pierogies. Thank you so much for everything that you shared with us today.
Thank you. And if you come while I'm here, definitely let me know.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast. If any of the cards mentioned in today's episode piqued your interest, please check out the links in the show notes for more information on any of the cards. Also, if you apply for a card using the links on that page, I may receive a commission too, so please and thank you. P.S. I hear the links work better in Internet Explorer or Safari, and sometimes the credit card applications tend to glitch out in Chrome. Additionally, it would mean the world to me if you could subscribe to this podcast, leave a 5-star review, and share it with a friend. And if you would like to make even more travel hacking friends, please sign up for the Patreon to access our monthly masterclass hangouts. We dive deep into a particular points program each month, and you'll get to ask all of your travel hacking questions and enjoy being around other people who enjoy points and miles just as much as you and I do. If you would like an invite to the next one, head over to geobreezetravel.com/hangouts to sign up to be on the invite list. Take care and happy travels!